Psalm number 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Dear congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in today's world it becomes all too easy, especially with the idol factory of our heart, to craft something that we believe will help. I emphasize we believe that we create things that we believe will help us along our pilgrimage, when the solution, though, is already given to us. What happens when new problems arise in situations that we have never faced? Where do you turn? It was a hard day. A beer, that takes off the edge. Something to eat, that usually comforts me. Buying something new usually puts me in a cheerful mood. Or maybe I'll just keep working to distract my mind. See, we create these idols in times of distress, anxiety, frustration, but Scripture assures us of what happens to those who create idols. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the works of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. Not only is it idol makers that become deaf, blind, and dumb, but so do those who trust in them. As our text this morning is sometimes called the morning prayer or military prayer, may this psalm be a reminder of the one who can deliver us from any problem. Because in the flurry of our problems, we can focus on what is happening to us rather than what has happened to us in Jesus Christ. Psalm 3 illustrates for us a morning crisis. And we'll look at this in 3 points. The realization of the reality. Point 2, a reliance on the Lord. And point number 3, request to the Lord. And a short sidebar before we dive into our text, there's some new things about Psalm 3 that we have not witnessed in Psalm 1 or 2. First being Selah. Your Bible might have a footnote that says Selah is an uncertain or musical or liturgic direction. Some commentators also point this out to be a pause, a point of contemplation. It's important to remember, though, that the meaning is uncertain, but it is found in the original text in which we translate from. Second, a title and author. The first two psalms now did not have a title and author. Your Bible may have in bolder print a help. To help understand what the psalm's direction is, but I'm talking about the subscript that we find, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Some commentators will argue the accuracy of the title and the author, but it is found in the original text, and parallels can be made between 2 Samuel 15 through 19 and Psalm 3. Now, shifting our focus away from those introductory remarks, may the Spirit keep us attentive as we dig into the details of our first point, realization of the reality. We read from the opening two verses, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Early into this psalm, we see the distress of David. He cries out. David has a problem, a realization of his reality. And there are some questions that we should be asking. Who are these foes? How many are there? And what do they mean when they say there is no salvation for him in God? And a little bit of context to help refresh your mind of what's happening in 2 Samuel 15 through 18. Absalom conspires against his father. And David's counselor, Ahithophel, joins Absalom. David flees from Jerusalem as he learns of Ahithophel's betrayal. David cries out to the Lord that Ahithophel's counsel would become foolishness. David sends his friend Hushai to Absalom to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel, in which he is successful, as we read, For the Lord had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, so that the Lord might bring harm upon Absalom. Hushai saves and warns David of Ahithophel's plan to bring 12,000 men to kill David. And then eventually Absalom is defeated and dies. So who are these foes? We have Absalom, David's son, conspiring to kill God's anointed. The hearts of the men of Israel sided now with Absalom over David. Ahithophel, David's counselor, he betrayed David. And Shimei, the son of Gera of the household of Saul, curses David as David makes his way up the Mount of Olives. Shimei says, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. The Lord has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood. We see that David's enemies are many. And how many are there? Well, we have the hearts of the men of Israel. And Ahithophel wanted 12,000 men. So when David heard this news, you can understand why he fled and crossed the River Jordan. But a more important question, or more interesting question, is what do they mean, those rising against David, when they say there is no salvation for him in God? What the psalmist here is expressing is that God is not powerless to help or unable to help, but rather there is no victory for him from God, because God alone is the one who gives victory. Therefore, in the eyes of David's enemies, God has deserted David. A reason why Ahithophel wanted to send those 12,000 men to kill David. They believed God had deserted David. And before we shift into our next point, I want us to observe one more thing. The many and the me. This is what David is focused on in these opening verses. He repeats himself three times with the word many. Many are my foes, many are rising against me, and many are saying. And David also uses here my twice, me once, and then referring to him in the third person, him. See, David is focused on his situation and the many that are surrounding him. And I want us to keep this fresh in our mind that David, focusing on the me and the many, because there's an abrupt transition in David's thought patterns. And we'll see this as we observe our next point, reliance on the Lord. We read in verse 3 through 6, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around." See, David makes a transition. But you. He shifts from the focus of the many and the me to the you. His eyes fixed now upon heaven. But why did David do this? David has a reputation. Hushai was telling Absalom, "You know your father and his men are mighty men, and that they are enraged like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. Besides, your father is an expert in war. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and that those who are with him are valiant men." See, David was not content in his reputation. David did not motivate himself recalling all his previous victories or look to the mighty men that surrounded him. David's response was, "But you, O Lord." See, David's comfort is that the Lord is his shield, his protection, this thick, impenetrable wall protecting him on all sides. David's comfort is that the Lord is his glory. In his current shame, David, with his head bowed, weeping, God is his glory. Not David, not his reputation, and not those who he surrounds himself with. David's comfort is that the Lord is the one who lifts his head. And commentators say that this relates to the divine action or the sovereign action, which may include restoration to the former position. The lifting of the head signifies the movement from despair to hope. David's comfort is that the Lord will move him from despair to hope. David's comfort is that the Lord listens to his cries. He cries out to his Lord, and the Lord hears David's cries. Because the Lord our God has eyes that see, and ears that hear, and a mouth that speaks. The Lord is not deaf, dumb, or blind. He is not an idol created by human hands. He is Almighty God. David's comfort is that the Lord answers from his holy hill. Not only does the Lord hear, but he answers David. And this comfort is like a warm blanket wrapped around David. Tight and secure. Why? Because he sleeps. We read, "I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me." David, with all his problems, his enemies, the curses that are hurled his way, he closes his eyes and he sleeps. He rests. In the most vulnerable position, unable to defend himself, he trusts in the Lord. And there's an example of this in Scripture for Saul, that wasn't the case. That when he pursued David a second time, while Saul was sleeping, David snuck into the tent, but he did not stretch his hand against the Lord's anointed. But he took his spear, and Saul was none the wiser. And a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on Saul. But David was reassured in the morning that the Lord indeed sustained him despite all his enemies. And this instills a confidence in David. This man who was weeping with his head covered, ascending the Mount of Olives, boldly now proclaims, "I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around." You see, David understood that the Lord was his deliverance. He quickly turned to rely on the Lord. And it makes you think, how did Christ respond in times of distress? How often do we read that Christ slipped away to pray? Jesus Christ, who had in quantity and in strength more powerful enemies, a far heavier burden, more alluring temptations than David did, that you and I will ever have. Jesus Christ, who was fully man and fully God, went to the Father in prayer. And we have an account of this in John 17. Jesus, preparing for his final battle against sin, draws near to the Father. And how much more should we then seek and cultivate this reliance on the Lord? Are we relying on our reputation to get things done? Or what we have accomplished in the past? Or who we surround ourselves with to carry us through future problems? You see, David was an expert at war, surrounded by mighty men, and he sought the Lord. Jesus Christ, fully man, fully God, and he sought the Father. We need to continue to sharpen, to refine where our eyes look for deliverance. Is it at me and my problems and my weakness, or at Christ and his power? And this is a skill that needs to be trained until we come proficient at it. Because when trials and tribulations come our way, turning to Christ becomes muscle memory. It becomes second nature. It becomes like breathing. It becomes like breathing to wrap yourself in Christ when you're most vulnerable. It becomes like breathing to trust that you'll make it through the night of your problems. Remember, Scripture tells us, "He who will not let your foot be moved, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." It is not the Lord who will fall asleep during the midnight watch, during your most desperate hour, during your most strongest fight. Remember, that was the disciples. When Christ asked them to stay awake and pray, they were the ones that sleep. You see, we are the weak ones. Christ is strong. And we need to trust that we'll be rewarded. That if we taste the Lord, we will see that he is good, as did David, and was refreshed with confidence in front of his enemies. When we cloak ourselves with Christ, what can the enemy do? What can penetrate his shield? With the encouragement that our reliance is not in and of ourselves, but that it comes from a greater source, a richer source, outside of ourselves, let us turn to our final point this morning. Point number 3, request to the Lord. David now closes with a request. We read, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people." With David's new confidence, he now petitions to the Lord, a request for deliverance. David is also acknowledging that salvation comes from the Lord. We see again, "for you." He uses the second person, looking not to himself, but something outside of himself. Salvation comes from God. David does not defeat any enemies, but the Lord is the one who strikes all enemies on the cheek and breaks the teeth of the wicked. And we are reminded of this throughout Scripture for a moment. If you have your Bibles handy, you can turn with me to Joshua 24. So read verse 1 through 13. And I want you to notice how the Lord is describing these events. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. And I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and made the sea come upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand. And you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you. And also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I gave them into your hand. And I set a hornet before you, which drove them out before you. The two kings of the Amorites, it was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you the land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built. And you dwell in them, and you eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive orchards, what you did not plant." You see, God is the one who's provided for his people all along. Through drought, through years of plenty, through exile, through war and conquest. And have confidence that God is still providing for his people. And we have been given the ultimate deliverance from the Father's wrath, from the stain of sin, from the bondage of sin, in his one and only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. It is because of Jesus Christ and his perfect obedience. It is because of Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross. It is because of Jesus Christ and his love for you that he loved you more than you ever will love yourself. Dear congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our sins are many, Our flesh revolts against us. The world slanders us. Satan whispers to us, there is no salvation for him in God. But Christ is our shield. Christ hears all our cries. He will defeat all our enemies. Christ's righteousness clothes us. He is our glory. Christ is the one who lifts our head and restores us to enjoy the blessings of the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we be comforted by the words that we hear, that you are the one who delivers us through Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we have history of you working through your people, through all their trials and tribulations, that it's because of you, O Lord. And we thank you that you sent our Son to be the ultimate deliverance for us from your wrath, from the stain of sin, from the bondage of sin. We thank you for all these blessings you bestow upon us each and every day. It's through Christ's name we pray. Amen.